Thank you for joining me today for today's COVID-19 update. It's good to be back in Little Rock after being in Northwest Arkansas yesterday. I first want to comment on the state revenue report, which is related to our economic recovery and vitality in our state. And in May, we were up $80 million over the revised forecast. And year to date, we're up $287 million over the revised forecast. Now, that means we lowered the revenue forecast and we're exceeding that projection. With the month of May, we were 3.4% below last year in state revenue. But this is really extraordinarily good compared to what the projections were. And so I'm delighted with the individual income tax collections, with the fact that people are going back to work. The sales tax collection shows that people are gaining confidence in our economy again. And this is good news for us, and I was pleased to receive that revenue report today. In terms of last night and the ongoing protests that we have across the state of Arkansas and across the nation, I made my comments on that yesterday, but I did observe last night, and while it was a peaceful protest that I appreciate and value up until about 10 o'clock, there was those that turned violent. There were those that turned to destruction of property. And the Arkansas State Police last night arrested five, and those were five Arkansas residents. I expect the Arkansas State Police, working with Little Rock Police Department, to be out again this evening. And I expect that if that conduct continues in destruction of property or violent activities, that they will be prepared to make arrests as necessary. In terms of the COVID-19 cases, yesterday we had 7,443 cases. Since yesterday, we have an additional 375 cases here in Arkansas, which is the highest number of community cases that we've seen in a one-day span of time. That brings us to 7,818 cases statewide. In terms of our hospitalizations, we are at 121 yesterday. We have an additional 11 that are hospitalized. That brings us to 132. In terms of those that have succumbed to COVID-19, we had 133 yesterday. We have additional three Arkansans that have died. That brings us to 136. This is the result, and I'm talking about the number of cases that we reflected. That's based upon testing that we've done in Arkansas of yesterday of 3,807 tests, another very high number of tests. 713 of those by the Department of Health, and so they continue to increase their coverage and their testing. In terms of positivity rate, that's another good sign. We had a 4.4% positivity rate yesterday based upon the 3,807 tests that were conducted. And if we go to the slides, let's look first at the number of new cases. You can see that this is another spike that we have, and it's all orange, so it's community cases. You go to the next one, you'll see the rolling average that we continue to trend upward in the number of cases. That is the trajectory that we're on right now. And then if you look at the number of currently hospitalized, again, we are now at the highest point of hospitalizations in Arkansas. And that's understandable with the additional cases that we have. And then in terms of testing, here again is the good news with the 10% standard that CDC has set. But you look at us the last 24 hours, it's less than 5%, and it's been consistently below 10% since we've increased our testing such a high level. And then You'll see the cumulative total, which looks funny because it's fairly blank because we're just in the first part of June. But it reflects 3,807, and I wanted to indicate to you what our goal for testing will be in the month of June. As you know, we're setting a goal to test every nursing home resident and staff person. We're starting that process, that's an objective that we want to accomplish. That alone, I believe, is 50,000 or so tests as a result of that. But with the level of testing that we're doing and the goal that we have, we want to be able to actually double our goal from last month. So May was 60,000 tests. Our goal, it's a goal. It doesn't mean we can make it, but we're setting the goal of 120,000 tests for the month of June. And then if you go to the next slide, and Dr. Romero will be speaking more about this, but yesterday we had a good meeting with our Latino leaders and community representatives in Northwest Arkansas, where we still see, I think it was 90% of the new cases in Benton County had Spanish surnames. So we wanted to meet with them. They made some recommendations to us, and one of them was to really beef up our COVID-19 Latinx stakeholder group. And so we have 28 members on that group that represent the Hispanic community. And Dr. Romero will be engaged in that and speak to that as well. And the final slide that we have is a protest that you see in Benton County, where I practiced law for a number of years, right there on the square. And you can see the huge crowd. And the question I ask is, how does this impact COVID-19? And obviously, there's a crowd there. There's not social distancing. But if you look at the participants, the vast majority of them all have masks on. And so this is an indication that they are taking this seriously in Benton County, Northwest Arkansas. It's got their attention. They're wearing masks. And this does set an example as to how we should take the spread of COVID-19 very seriously. With that, let me turn it over to Dr. Smith, followed by Dr. Romero.
Thank you, Governor. In terms of the numbers for yesterday, as the governor mentioned, we did have 375 new cases. One of those was in a correctional facility, so 374 community cases, which the governor's already mentioned is our highest single daily increase for community cases. Our total is 7,818. Of these, 2,115 are active cases. 73 of those are in nursing home. 53 of those are in correctional facilities, so we have 1,989 cases in the community, active cases in the community. In terms of hospitalizations, the governor's already mentioned, we had a net increase of 11, so we're at 132. We have currently 31 on a ventilator. That's an increase of 5 over yesterday, and then we've had 3 new deaths, so we're at 136. In terms of deaths, we have 5,567 recovered. That's an increase of 166 from yesterday. In terms of where these cases are coming from, I'd like to give the top counties for that. Our top county was Benton County with 65 cases. Our second was actually Pulaski County with 63. But I need to note that of these 63 in Pulaski County, 46% or 29 of them were in Jacksonville, and almost all of those were either residents or workers at a nursing home. So about half of the cases in Pulaski County, new cases from yesterday, are in a single nursing home. Next is Washington County with 57 cases. We have 33 in Sevier County, 21 in Craighead County, 14 in Yell County, and 10 in Crittenden County. All the other counties are fewer than 10 cases. Looking at this from a regional perspective, we continue to see an increase in the number of new cases in Northwest County, Northwest region and Southwest region, although the Southwest region is particularly one county, Sevier County. In the Northeast region and the Southeast region, we continue to see a downward trend in the number of new cases. In Central region, we have been flat, but we had this one-day spike. But of those, all the excess compared to the day before are attributable to a nursing home. So we'll have to see what happens in Central, but that one-day spike is really attributable to the nursing home. The governor has mentioned our new goal for testing for this month is 120,000, which is basically 1% of our population each week, which is a goal that's been commended to us by our federal partners. I think we are going to be able to achieve that as we put in place a plan to test all of our nursing homes, which will be about 50,000. And then remember last month we did 80,000. So if we at least do what we did last month, we should even exceed the 120,000. So we're on a good pace. And with that, I'm going to go ahead and turn it back over to the governor. Or you want me to turn it over to Dr. Romero?
Thank you, Governor. Dr. Smith. So as the governor mentioned, the COVID-19 Latinx stakeholders group was formed last month. We've been meeting since the beginning of the month, last month, and it's composed of 28 members representing multiple organizations across the state, the major hospitals, and faith groups, as well as the Arkansas United and Hispanic Women's Organization. Our primary goal is to communicate the importance, the significance of COVID infections to the Latinx community in Spanish in order to make them aware of the situation in our state. We discuss testing of in hotspot areas. We are developing current informational videos and texts in Spanish to transmit the importance of testing and the importance of protective personal measures against COVID-19. We hope that this work will transmit to the Latino community the importance of this virus and will help to bring it under control. So back over to the governor.
Thank you, Dr. Romero. And with that, we'll turn it over to questions.
In terms of the reason for this big number of new cases, is it still kind of the same thing with like poultry companies, and or is there any particular reason?
Of course, the short answer is that the spike in the new cases that we have reflects the increased, dramatic increase in testing that we're doing, and that we're really going after the areas that have been positive cases, that we were having to do more contact tracing, more testing. And part of that is in the Hispanic community in Northwest Arkansas, but also in the poultry industry. And I did meet with them yesterday, doing an amazing job in terms of providing for the health, doing their own contact tracing, doing their own testing. And so I have a lot of confidence in what they're doing to keep the facilities running, but also to take care of their workers. But that's what we see. Obviously, we're going to do a deeper dive, and Dr. Smith and I are going to spend a lot of time on these numbers and continue to look at those. Is there any question remotely?
Yes, Governor, good afternoon. It's Neil Glender in Hot Springs. This question is for Dr. Smith. When you had the chart up that showed the positivity rates, there were a couple of days they were up closer to the 10% level, it looked like, and that seemed to be a little different than the positivity rates that had been reported. And I know Dr. Smith has said it's been mental gymnastics for those of us trying to keep up with that, but does the chart reflect a different positivity rate than you're reporting on the daily briefings?
Thank you. That's a very good question. And it is true that what I report as the positivity rate Today, when we get all the numbers finalized by tomorrow, it may be different. Oftentimes it is. And this is a tension that we have here. We want to give you the most recent numbers, but as we get all of them in, you know, there may be some adjustments that are made. You know, remember, normally when we report data, we've done a careful vetting of it. We've cleaned the data systems, and, you know, historically, oftentimes, it'll be a year before we get a final data set. We don't have that kind of time in the midst of a pandemic, so I'm giving you the most current numbers that I have. We work very quickly to make those complete. As an example, yesterday the governor mentioned that we had had about 3,700 tests. Well, when we finally got them all in, the number of tests that we actually had during that 24-hour period of time was 4,081. And those did include some positives as well. So that percent positive I'm giving you is the most current information I have, but there may be some adjustments either up or down after we get all the numbers in.
Next question. Remotely.
This is Chad Muro with KNWA. I have one question for you and one question for Dr. Smith, if I may.
Okay.
Thank you. First off, in a broader sense of racial inequality, do you see a connection between the recent protests and the way COVID-19 is disproportionately affecting our minority communities?
You mean, is there a causal relationship between the protest and the fact that this is spreading in the minority community?
I'm just wondering if you see a relation between, I guess, the message of the protesters and then how we're seeing COVID-19 impact African-Americans and now the Hispanic community with these new cases.
Thank you for the clarification. And, you know, and of course, each protester that is out there might have a different mindset as to what motivated them to be there. So I certainly am not in a position to speak for why they're there and the issues of concern, but I have talked to some of them, and, you know, the first level is certainly what we saw in Minnesota, but it does go deeper, and there is concern about the lack of access to good health care in the minority areas of our state and disparate ability to have that kind of access. And so there certainly is a concern, and that's one of the reasons that we want to make sure our Minority Health Commission and that we invest in the future in terms of improved minority health care, particularly as it might relate to COVID-19. I think you said you had another question for Dr. Smith.
Yes, sir. Dr. Smith, purely from a public health standpoint, how concerning are these protests? And if, say, a protester did test positive for COVID-19, how hard would that be to do the contact tracing that's necessary?
It's a very good question. Yeah, this is a concern. Whenever we have groups of people together without social distancing, especially if they're not wearing masks, then there is the risk of spread of COVID-19. And contact tracing in that setting would be very challenging because people may not know who they were in contact with. So my hope would be, or what I would urge our public is if you're part of a group setting or protest, a peaceful protest, still be mindful of other risks to you and to others. And although social distancing may be a challenge, do your best and wear a face mask, as the folks in the photo that the governor showed. It would be a tragic thing if people came out to protest an injustice and then ended up infected because of that.
And one more question remotely, then we'll come back to the table.
Yeah, Governor, this is Andrew with AP. Related to the protest, wanted to ask you, given the president's comments last night, have you made a request, or you plan on making any requests for military assistance aside from National Guard for the demonstration? And also, has the federal government requested National Guardsmen from Arkansas to go up to Washington? And if so, how have you responded to that? Are you sending any up there?
Thank you. And the answer is that Arkansas has not made any requests. I have not made any requests of the federal government for military resources, and I do not see that in our future. The role of the National Guard is important under my control as Commander-in-Chief of the state military, and their support of the state police and local law enforcement is what I believe is sufficient in the right direction for this time of protest in the United States. In terms of the second part of your question, which is, have we been asked to provide any support? There is not any geographic area tied to it. We have had a preliminary inquiry, but no official request for any Arkansas resources. Back to the table.
I guess in regards to protests, how do you think they've been handled from a law enforcement standpoint? And is there, I guess, a balance that needs to be struck to where before things get out of hand, or is this just a situation where law enforcement just has to react instead of trying to be more preventative about things without just having an army of them out there?
I think law enforcement has done a very, very good job in terms of protecting the protesters, making sure they have the right to peaceably assemble, and then balancing that with enforcing the rule of law and protecting property. It's always challenging for law enforcement, and I was actually out at the command center last night. I watched it very closely. I watched the decision-making process, and I thought it was very, very well handled, but it also taught me the complexities of it all as to when you move in, you know, what actions are taken, and, you know, what I might think is the best way to do it. You know, it's pointed out that this could lead to a confrontation. It could lead to close contact with, you know, a protester that would lead to a higher level of violence or escalation. And so you're trying to avoid that. And the less than lethal or non-lethal crowd dispersing tools that they use has proven to be effective the last few days. And so, you know, we learn from each night. But I want all of Arkansas to know that we're committed to, one, protecting the right to peaceably protest an important issue, and secondly, how it is intolerable that we would ever allow the destruction of property. We want to make arrests when that happened, just like we made 5 arrests last night. And I think the state police, I applaud them. They're working and supporting local law enforcement. Yes, ma'am.
Governor, if the significant increase in COVID-19 cases is reflective because of the increase of testing efforts, does that indicate that we have now or have had many more community cases than we have known about?
Yes, I want to make sure I understand. I'll give Dr. Smith a chance to answer this as well. But yes, the increased testing reflects that we actually know the spread of COVID-19 in the community and the level of it. And that's what, you know, 2 months ago, everybody at this table was saying, well, you're not testing enough. Well, now that we're testing, we do know more. And the good news from that is that we're able to go in and trace it, isolate it, and to manage it. And so it's increased our radar, and we're using that effectively. Dr. Smith?
Yes, I agree 100% with what the governor has said. There are some cases that are asymptomatic, never develop symptoms. We would not know about them unless we tested. There are others who might have mild symptoms, and they may not come in for testing if it wasn't accessible. We wouldn't know about those. And then there are others who, by testing, we detect them before they become symptomatic, and so we can get them isolated, do the contact tracing before they spread to as many other people. So certainly increasing the testing, increasing the detection helps us in terms of stopping the spread of COVID-19.
How are the recent numbers in increased cases and hospitalizations impacting your decision for phase two for reopening businesses?
Well, it's put phase two on pause for now. The hospitalizations we watch very carefully, and it's not to the level that near anywhere the level that we would have a concern on the access and sufficient hospital capacity. But that's one factor that we watch. And so, moving to phase two is, we look at it all the time, but I don't think that would be appropriate to open up into phase two until we have more data and have more confidence. Let me also just interject that I've had communication from various parts of the state and say, well, our caseload is low. We don't have very many cases, so can you just open us up and let us go to phase two? Well, that was actually the message I had from Northwest Arkansas 2 weeks ago. They all said, we're low cases. Can you let us go to phase two and open us up more? And you could imagine if we had made that decision, what it would look like. And so I think there's a lesson there that, what might be a low caseload today, we need to watch that just like we watch the rest of the state. And I think we've proven that as the right approach is to move our state together. Is there another question remotely?
Yes, Governor. Hi. Here, Naum Dominguez. I want to know if you are worried that in the Latino community there are increasing in parties like weddings and quinceañeras in the last week, and if you are going to suggest any restrictions. And the second question that I have for Dr. Smith is that if you can have the breakdown for the death in rate, please. Thank you.
Thank you, and I'm going to ask Dr. Romero if he wanted to respond to that. Did you hear that okay?
I missed the first part.
Well, basically, are we having any particular steps to take in the Latino community in response to the information and the increase?
Thank you, Governor. So with regard to the Latino community, we're actively now, more so than in the past, bringing awareness of this condition forward. We also have made it very clear that accessibility to testing has increased. And so one of the common questions that I've received in the past has been, is there a cost for the testing? And we've made it as clear as possible that this is free of charge, that we will test if you present to one of our local health units.
Dr. Smith, did you hear the other part of the question?
I think the question had to do with breakdown on deaths. Is that correct?
Yes.
So far, of our 136 total deaths, five have been designated as Latino in terms of ethnicity.
Let's take two more questions, one remotely and one from the table.
Governor, this is Allison with 4029.
Yes.
My question is about the unemployment website. A few weeks ago, we heard that the FBI was investigating the breach. Is there an update on that investigation? And are y'all still tracking any problems that people are experiencing with filing for unemployment?
Thank you. And this is the Pandemic Unemployment Assistance website for the self-employed. And I get a report in terms of the activity on the website every day. My understanding is that the website continues to function well and securely, and that we're continuing to push the money out and to approve applicants to that website. In terms of the security side of it or the breach that we experienced before, I've not received any additional information from law enforcement, and I just have been a little bit otherwise occupied with a few things, and I haven't received a full report from our independent penetrator, and I look forward to that, but I don't have any information to share with you at this time. Jay.
A couple things here. Dr. Smith, of the 3,700 odd tests yesterday, how many of those were from nursing homes?
I don't have a breakdown as far as how many of those were from nursing homes. I know that so far this month, which would have been yesterday, we have tested two nursing homes. As part of our plan to test all the nursing homes, we did find some cases in one of those nursing homes and no cases in the other.
And then I guess, how does the, well, this is for the governor, with the revenue report coming out, how does that sort of change things moving forward from a budgetary standpoint? Or are we just going to kind of stand pat and...
I have some decisions to make in that regard, and our fiscal year ends on June 30th, so... As we enter the end of the fiscal year, we have to decide whether we want to revise the budget any upward, since we have that surplus there, to meet some of the needs of our agencies. And so I'm looking at that as to whether we need to loosen the belt just a little bit. So I'll be meeting with Secretary Walther and his team on that in the coming days and evaluating where we are in terms of our agencies and their budget needs. Thank you all very much today, and have a good afternoon.